Welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. If there is a topic that you would desire that we pray about opening up in series form, please feel free to contact me here on the Blog Talk Radio site or even on our Facebook site. Remember, to find us on our Facebook site is simply to go to Help Relationships 102 minus the exclamation point, as it does here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to talk now about a topic that I believe I haven't heard talked about very often, but demands to be talked about, demands to be opened up. And it is about single African-American females, mothers, raising their African-American sons. And it is really something that is prevailing right now in the African-American community. And there are some things that I believe that are pertinent to understanding that will increase your chances of keeping your kids away from the bad stuff and giving them a fair chance to have a real life and not one that statistically is destroying the African-American youth of today. If you look out statistically, 1 in 4 of all African Americans now have a police record of some sort. 50% of all African Americans drop out of high school. I was a jail chaplain for many years, and it is prevailing the African Americans that are unfortunate residents of the penal system. And so I want to lay a great axe to a root. I've spoken in times past with regard to father and his impact in the African-American son, but I think it's important to explore and to undergird and to help mom and to help her, give her tools that would help her increase her chances on giving the African-American son, her African-American son, a chance. And there's some certain understandings I believe that are very important in raising him. And I want to explore some of these understandings on this week, if you'll bear with me. I want to explore, because this is really a tough subject. When you think about it, since dad is not there, half of all African-American kids live in homes without fathers. And I always say that the best mother makes a poor father. And dad is the one that keeps the boundaries and that keeps discipline. And that actually, a father in the right place, I should say, a father that's doing what is needed of him, will provide a safe and stable environment and minimize the risks of the bad stuff that typically carry the African-American son off and where he gets lost unto statistical destruction. And so let's build up mom. Let's give her tools and enable her and empower her, because she's the one that's there right now. And this is no slant against dads. And if you've listened to prior broadcasts, you know when I say that, I don't mean anything against dads. But moms is the one that's there. Mothers, you're the one that's there. And you require tools to do this. You know, they say that when you have kids, one of the famous sayings is that you don't have a manual wherewith to raise them. All you can do is the best you can do. And where typically that comes from is your own experience in child rearing. But I want to, if we can, let's look at mom, because she's the one that actually, that mostly is in need of help, in need of support, in need of understanding, in need of tools to undergo this great task of raising the African-American son. Now, also, I am a firm believer that it does, in fact, take a village to raise them. And moms, one of the first things I would ask of you is that oftentimes, because of the guilt of not having a father around, I think that it closes your mind to accepting the help of others, and it makes you defensive. Well, you're a warrior, and as we've talked about in prior broadcasts, you're a fighter. You know, you really are, and you're going to fight for whoever you love. And that's one of the things I've always respected about the African-American woman. She will fight you tooth and nail. She'll protect her babies. She's not going to wait around for the kid to be protected. She's going to jump into the fray. All she has is herself. She's a survivor. She's always had to be. No one has ever given her anything. She's had to strive on her own. She's had to survive on her own, minus any real help. And so I would ask you, Mom, is that allow yourself to subscribe to the notion that it takes a village to raise the kids, because it in fact does. And include within your struggle the teachers, okay? And I know that oftentimes that your kid will come home and he'll give you his side of the story, and some of you will fly off the handle and go up to the school raising Cain just to find out that your son wasn't completely honest with what happened. There's a whole another side of the story. And I would ask that you would begin to include others and begin to include the teachers and others in your community. And don't be so quick to reject when they bring you news about your kid, when they bring you some information about some things they saw your kid involved in. I always say that it's much easier to cut down a tree when it's still a little plantling, okay? It's much easier to take the tree down than to wait because of not being able to deal with the possibility that what they're saying might be right. And that level of denial will allow that tree to grow more in that area and in the soil that it's in, and become stronger, so that, you know, it's like with cancer. If you get it early, you can more easily excise it and produce for yourself a full recovery. But if you wait and wait out of denial, unwilling, unable to be able to acknowledge it, then you may do so at your child's expense. And so I know that you're a fighter, and I know that you're a protector, but sometimes I've noted that it could put the African-American mother in a place of denial, where she's unwilling to look at what's there, unwilling to see what everyone else understands and knows about your kid. And be willing to look and pray. And one of the things that I found that makes it easy for the African-American mom not to look at it is that she feels powerless to do anything about it. She doesn't know what to do about it. You try to beat them, but the older they get, the more difficult that becomes. And once the testosterone starts flowing in that boy, and he starts bowing up at you, and now he's bigger than you, and he's stronger than you, so it's much easier to not have to face it, and to not have to look at it, and to in fact allow yourself to fall into the pit of denial, and allow that cancer to grow to the expense of your child's life and your own broken heart. And so I want to encourage you that you have more tools than you're aware of. You are perhaps, or I should even say unequivocally, the greatest influence in your child's life. And sometimes we don't realize how to properly work the power that we have. Someone knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes, see, you're aware of the authority and you're aware of the influence, but sometimes there's a danger of overstepping or not stepping up enough, not standing up enough or overstepping. And I want to talk about a little of what that looks like, so that you can, the power that and the influence that you do have with your son, that you could take it to its limits. Because once you overstep, then you've lost it. And if you understep, then you've lost it. If you don't stand up, you've lost it. If you overstep, you've lost it. And so that, you know, you want to stay right there on that boundary line, and to the very edge of it, and exercise as much authority and power properly in that child's life. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is that your kid has been raised listening to you. That's right. Your son has been raised listening to you. So you are an authority in his life. Now, it's when the respect is lost that your power, it begins to erode at your authority as he sees you. And I want to first address something about the spankings. I think that most oft times that we are too quick to use the rod. And I know the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. But the rod does not necessarily mean the belt or the hot wheel track or the brush or whatever you use, or the paddle, whatever you use to spank that your child. It doesn't necessarily mean a physical rod. You see, and sometimes it's easier to lean into the rod. It's easier to lean into the belt. It's easier to lean into spanking. But really, what it is, it's more beating is what we do. You see, there's a difference between spanking and beating. Okay, when you beat someone, you try to beat some sense into them. And it's more of a punishment. You're angry and you're venting and you allow yourself to try to change that child with that paddle. Let me tell you something. The rod does not change anyone. It has never changed anyone, but it provides a boundary. The change is going to come in as you begin to pray as well as enforce the bounty. Now remember, the key word to discipline is not about forcing your kid to change by beating the hell out of him. Okay. But the key of it is more to enforce, okay, instead of the force. When you're trying to force, then it becomes more of a control thing where you're trying to make your child change. No human being can make another human being change. Now, you want to enforce the boundary, but the change is going to come through prayer. That's right, child of God, through prayer. You cry out to the Lord. The Bible says this, that God's grace is made perfect in weakness. And so you're praying for your child's heart. You're praying for your child's change. You're praying for your child's growth. And you are praying without ceasing. In so doing, you allow the Lord to do what you can't do. In so doing, you allow the Lord to reach into his heart and change his heart in the ways that only he can do. And so once you lean into the rod, whether it's restriction, whether it's a paddling, once you lean into the belt, then it's you trying to force what God has only called you to enforce. He's the one that brings the change. And so once you believe that your restriction or your belt or your paddling is what brings the change, then your confidence and your faith shifts away from the Lord and shifts on to yourself. And in effect, it cuts God out of the disciplinary process. It cuts God out of the process of developing and raising your son. And so you'll keep him out according to your faith. Once your eyes shift from God to what you can do, then you've cut God out. You've cut his grace out. You've cut the power that he would use to bring forth the change that you're trying to force with that belt. You're cutting him out once you take confidence in the power that you have, whether that power is to discipline, whether that power is to spank, whether that power is to restrict. Once you lean into the arm of the flesh, you will be leaning away from the Lord. And so recognize, provide the boundary there, but understand and know in your heart that the boundary is just that. It's to teach that child that when he crosses the line, that there is a consequence. That once the African-American son begins to get a little testosterone in him, it is important to discipline him on the small stuff. I'm going to tell you something. If you worry about the small stuff, then you don't have to worry about the big stuff as much. Remember the old saying? If you give them an inch, they'll take a foot. You give them a foot, they'll take a mile. You know, so guess what? Don't give them a foot if they're going to take a mile with it. You give them an inch, so they'll take the foot. Okay, you know. And so if you stay on top of the small things in your African American son's life, you'll minimize some of the big things that you have to deal with. But recognize first and foremost that it's in praying for your child and believing God and allowing your faith to be that God is bringing forth the change, that God is developing and saving your son, that God is the one who is in control of your boy's life. And you provide those boundaries, you provide the spankings, you provide the restrictions, and you provide those, but recognizing the change, that the grace to change and to repent comes from the Lord. And so one of the things that we've done historically is that we tend to lean into the rod. We tend to lean into paddling or spanking. But we more tend to beat. You see, when you spank, it's more corrective than beating. When you beat someone, when you beat your kid, you're angry. You're hooping and hollering while you're doing it. You know, you're angry. You're actually venting your upset, your hurt, and your anger on your child's butt. Okay? And if you notice that mostly white America doesn't do this. Okay, African Americans are perhaps more guilty of that because of the way we were raised. As slaves, we were beaten. Okay, and that's how it was done. We were beaten. And so the slave daddies and mommies would beat their kids as they were taught by their authorities. Now, the white master wasn't beating his kids. Okay. And so because we learned from the authority of being beaten, it carried on down from generation to generation that we are the first to be. We're not usually the first to talk. In my heart, in my way of doing things that I've learned, is the spanking with the paddle is a last resort. It's only when they won't yield to the restriction or that level of discipline. Then I use the spanking to bring them back. They'll appreciate the other restriction. They'll appreciate where we can talk and communicate and work things out. Once they cross certain lines, if they break all those, then I would bring the rod in as a last resort. It's not the first thing I lean into. You see, I'm a firm believer in teaching your child and having what I call teachable moments. You know, they say a kid's brain doesn't even develop properly until you're like 25 or 26 years old. And so their brain is in the process of developing. And so, you know, my job is to disciple my child and to teach him the thing through communication. And so that's my first approach. I want to communicate with that boy. All right. I want to communicate with him. I want to find out what his reasoning is, and I want to correct his reasoning. Then I want to discipline. Now, let me tell you this, too, about the beating. If beating is the first thing that you do, then what you're teaching your kid is that you're teaching them survival of the fittest. The one that is the biggest and the strongest has the power. Okay, the one that is the toughest, and that's the rule of the streets. Haven't you noticed that in the gangs and in territories and in schools and in turfs, that the strong survive and the toughest one calls the rules and calls the shots. It carries over into prison. And it's a wonder that when your child starts hitting adolescence and his testosterone starts flowing and his voice begins to change and he becomes bigger than you, suddenly he's becoming disrespectful to you. And suddenly he's crossing lines and saying to you, because you taught him through the beating of him when you were the bigger one, that's the way it works, that the strong survive, and the strongest is the one that calls the rules. The biggest one makes the rules, and you taught him that. And so when he gets older and the testosterone starts flowing, and then the next thing you know, he starts just being disrespectful to you. And so it's unwise to lean into beating, because that's the message you're sending him, is that the biggest one calls the shots. The toughest one makes the rules. And that's why our penal systems are made up that way. That's why the streets are made up that way. That's why it's made up that way in school. It's because of what we've learned from generation to generation through slavery. That's right, through slavery. And the Lord wants us to learn to sit down and to communicate with that knuckle-headed kid. I always laugh and say that I don't believe that our kids should be out, allowed outside all by themselves alone until they're in their 30s. Because when you're in your 20s, you think you know everything. You don't know a blessed thing. But as far as the African-American sons go, moms, it's very important to understand that dad is not there to maintain the boundaries, and that is your job. Now, by definition, you know, women, moms tend to be more nurturing. They're not good at disciplining. Yeah, they struggle with the discipline part. When a dad puts you on restriction, you're going to be on restriction until he says. But a mom will put you on restriction and then let you off. You know, she'll feel sorry for you and let you off. And what you understand is you're teaching your African-American son. Now, see, if dad were there, then he would maintain the boundaries. And mom, you'd be there crying out for mercy for the boy. And so it probably wouldn't be as bad as it could have been. But what happens is, when it comes to a boy, you have to create strong boundaries. You first communicate with them, and you discipline them. Remember, the rod does not just mean spanking. It could mean restriction. It could be the removing of something. We're going to talk about all that in this series. But understand that part of the reason that the African-American sons are so haywire is that dad is not in the home. Dad's not in the home to get in that boy's face and to create a restraint on him because of the respect and the fear of the Lord, or the fear of dad, because it's not there. And as soon as he gets old enough, his voice starts dropping, his testosterone starts flowing, then he starts getting in your face. And he starts calling the shots because now he's the bigger one. And so I want to admonish you, African-American moms, to begin talking to your kids. That's right, to begin talking, begin reasoning with them. When they act this way, their brains are undeveloped. You need to find out from them what they were thinking and trace their train of thought, okay? Trace their train of thought and then teach them the proper way. And of course, discipline. And it's important that sometimes when you ask a child why he's done a thing, he usually will give you a child answer. But you were a child before, and so you could actually discern what he's trying to say or what he is not emotionally intelligent enough to express. You can read through and find out where he's coming from and correct his train of thinking, to correct his school of thought. You have that power to do that. And then there's the discipline part. Moms, you tend to be more nurturing. And moms typically aren't good at maintaining the restriction once they put the kid on restriction. They just don't tend to be good at it. They look at that boy's face and they start feeling sorry for them, even though the boy perpetrated a great infraction against you and mankind. And if you look at that boy's face, you remember that he's your baby, and you let him off. Mom, if you've ever heard anything about the raising of your African-American son, this is when you have to adapt a little daddy in you. And you have to, whatever the restriction is that you give, you have to maintain that restriction. It is important that if you say that a week with no phone, then you must do that. What you do is you'll be teaching him respect. You'll be teaching that boy respect so that he won't grow up to break your heart and to hurt himself. If you create a boundary, you do it when they're young so they grow up respecting the boundary. You first you reason with them, but then when they cross over, you find out what they're thinking and you correct their thinking as best you can. And if they refuse to take your counsel, then you discipline them. When you discipline them, you have to keep them on the restriction. Oh, Mom, you got to hear me. This will save you a whole lot because you're the one that the burden of the raising that child whose shoulders it rests on, it's on you. But you're not good at maintaining the discipline. If you do that, you will in fact teach that child respect. You will in fact teach that child how to respect authority. If you can learn to maintain that discipline, you will increase that child's chances of having a successful life, and you'll reduce the risk of having your heart broken by that child. Mom, you can do this, and you have the tools to do it, but you're going to have to adopt a little daddy to do it. And what so doing is, if you say 1 week with no phone, then it must be 1 week with no phone, child of God. Mom, it must be 1 week with no phone. You were raised without a phone, and you did okay. And what if his emergency should take place? You'll think all those thoughts about your baby, and he can borrow one of his friend's phones. But if you say it, your word is the greatest tool that you will have that will discipline your child and that will keep him, that will keep your relationship and give him a chance to have a chance in this life. Oh, child of God, you listen to me, Mom. If you say 2 days with no TV, then it must be 2 days. There can be no mercy, not when the mercy is at the child's expense. I always say that when my love for my child is not helping my child, it is hurting him and it is enabling him. If my love is not helping, it's hurting. And a love it enables is not love that's healthy, and it's not really love at all. And so you can do it, Mom. But if you can do this, you will in fact protect your child. You'll protect him. You'll be protecting your child. You know, it's forming boundaries. It's like in a house. Your house, your home, is made up of boundaries. Those walls are boundaries. But if you create boundaries in that child of disciplinary boundaries, that even when he's away from you, he will honor that. He'll respect that. Give the kid an inch, knowing he's going to take the foot. Okay, you may not know where that foot's coming from, but you know what's happening. But if you give him a foot, he's going to take a mile. And so you maintain that discipline, Mama. And I know it's going to hurt. If you have to, download this from iTunes and listen to it over and over to remind yourself that right now you're protecting your word. You're protecting the boundaries, the very thing that's going to give that child a chance. You are protecting it by doing what you say you're going to do. You'll find that in the long run, it'll minimize you having to holler. You have to hoop and holler. A lot of times when you're hooping and hollering, you're mostly trying to force or pressure that child to do what you want him to do. But if you do what you say you're going to do, you give that child a warning and he knows that you mean it, and he'll stop arguing with you. He'll stop resisting you at every turn because he knows that it's going to cost him. That's right. He'll know that it's going to cost him, and it'll help you, child of God. It'll teach him respect. It'll teach him to respect boundaries. And this is going to go a long way in life. I tell you, I've been in courtrooms before where the kid's life would be in the judge's hand, and the kid would be disrespecting the judge. He doesn't have a concept of authority and of boundaries. You're supposed to teach that boy, that child of God, not the penal system, not the world, and not life. But you can do it. I know it doesn't feel like you can, but you stick to your guns. It is the greatest weapon that you have. It is the greatest tool that you have in producing a child that has a chance, at least, to make it. Oh, you have more power power than you know, mama, but you're going to have to exercise it. You have more strength than you know, but you're going to have to exercise it. If you say no, then it must be no. If you allow him to charm you and to schmooze you and to sway you over to a yes, you're teaching him disrespect. You're teaching him that he doesn't have to respect boundaries. You're teaching him to manipulate. You're teaching him to connive. You teach him insincerity. And so, mom, if you come away with anything else, you make your stand. If you say no, you say, son, I don't want you going outside for the rest of the weekend. Then guess what? You stick to it. And the next time you say, son, you stop. You stop. You don't disrespect me. He will stop. At first, he won't until he learns, until you teach him that there are boundaries. And once you teach him those boundaries and he crosses the line, I always say, once you break it, you got to fix it. You're responsible for it. And then you stick to it. And mom, if you can do that, you will be carrying the best part of daddy away with you in that relationship. There's some parts of daddies that moms don't like. Dads can be way too confrontational. They can be way too hard on their kids. But there's a part of dad that you need. And that part is the maintaining of the boundaries. That's what creates the home. Doesn't whether you're in a mansion, you're in an apartment, a trailer, or in an outhouse. If you maintain the boundaries, you will actually maintain the spirit and the sense of family. And it will also minimize him from having to look for that sense of family out in the street. He won't be as sensitive to peer pressure if you give him a sense of home with boundaries. Boundaries will create a home. Your house is made of boundaries. And so, mom, you hear me. Hold to your word. Protect your word. And protect your boundaries, knowing that therein is where you'll raise your kid. And yeah, he's going to take a foot, but you'll minimize it. Don't give him the foot. And you stick to your guns. And you do what you say you're going to do. The strongest asset, the strongest tool in the relationship will be your word. Okay? And so our time is starting to get past us. There's so much more to say about this. And we're going to talk about more as the week goes by. And so I want to remind everyone again to like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of help. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon and God bless.